Swayambhu, Lord Brahma, Bhagavan, the most powerful, Vabaha, Lord Shiva, Cha, also, Ye, who, Anye, others, Tapaha, by austerity, Jnana, by knowledge, Vishuddha, pure, Sattvaha, whose existence, Adrishtaparaha,
who cannot see the end,
Api, although, Yat, your, Mihimnaha, of glories, Stuvanti, they offer prayers, Ato, therefore, Twa, unto you, Atma Samam, according to capacity, Gani Maha,
we offered prayers.
The translation, dear Lord, even great yogis and mystics who are very much advanced by virtue of austerities and knowledge, and who have completely situated themselves in pure existence, as well as great personalities like Manu, Lord Brahma, and Lord Shiva, cannot fully understand your glories and potencies. Nonetheless, they have offered their prayers according to their own capacities. In the same way, we, although much lower than these personalities, also offer our prayers according to our own capabilities. You can repeat,
Dear Lord,
even great yogis and mystics,
who are very much advanced
by virtue of austerities and knowledge, and who have completely situated themselves
in pure existence,
as well as great personalities like Manu,
Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva,
cannot fully understand your glories and potencies.
Nevertheless, they have offered their prayers
according to their own capacities.
In the same way,
we, although much lower
than these personalities,
also offer our prayers
according to our own capability.
So, purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada,
Jai.
Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Manu, the Father of mankind, great saintly persons and also great sages, who have elevated themselves to the transcendental platform through austerities and penance, as well as devotional service, are imperfect in knowledge compared to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the case with anyone within this material world. No one can be equal to the Supreme Lord in anything, certainly not in knowledge. Consequently, anyone's prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is never complete. It is not possible to measure the complete glories of the Supreme Lord who is unlimited. Even the Lord himself in his incarnation as Ananta or Shesha cannot describe his own glories. Although Ananta has many thousands of faces and has been glorifying the Lord for many, many years, he could not find the limit of the glories of the Lord. Thus, it is not possible to estimate the complete potencies and glories of the Supreme Lord. Nonetheless, everyone in devotional service can offer essential prayers to the Lord. Everyone is situated in a relative position, and no one is perfect in glorifying the Lord. Beginning with Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, down to ourselves, everyone is the servant of the Supreme Lord. We are all situated in relative positions according to our own karma. Yet every one of us can offer prayers with heart and soul as far as we can appreciate the Lord's glories. That is our perfection. Even when one is in the darkest region of existence, he is allowed to offer prayers to the Lord according to his own capacity. The Lord therefore says in Bhagavad Gita, the 9th chapter, text 32, Mami Partha Vyapha Shrutya Yepishu Papa Yoniaha Striyo Vaishas Tata Shudras Tepi Yanti Param Gatim. O son of Pritha, those who take shelter in me
though they be of lower birth, women, vaishyas, merchants, as well as shudras, workers, can approach the supreme destination. If one seriously accepts the lotus feet of the Lord, he is purified by the grace of the Lord and by the grace of the Lord's servant. This is confirmed by Shukadeva Goswami, Yene Cha Papa, Yad, Apashraya Shraya, Shujanti Tasmai Prabhavishnave Namaha. Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, 4th Chapter, Text 18. One who is brought under the lotus feet of the Lord by the endeavor of the Lord's servant, the spiritual master, is certainly immediately purified, however low-born he may be. He becomes eligible to return home back to Godhead. So, Manu Swayambhur Bhagavan Bhavascha Yene Tapo Jnana Vishuddha Sattva Adrishtapara Api Anmahimna Tuvanchato Twatma Sahangrani Maha. So, Omagana Tumadanda Shah Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur and Miditam Gena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, it's interesting here, what you're finding described in this verse is the process of Vadanam. Everyone know what Vadanam means? It means prayers, offering prayers to the Supreme Personality of God. It's one of the 9 processes of devotional service. It's called Nava Bhakti. Nava Bhakti means the 9 processes, the beginning of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, and then Padasevanam, and then Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, and Atmani Vedanam. So it's interesting that these 9 processes of devotional service can be divided basically into 2 categories. And of course there's some overlap, I understand. It's not like mutually exclusive categories. But the 2 categories are Tantratraki Vidhi and Bhagavat Vidhi. And as Prabhupada describes these 2 categories, or 2 aspects of devotional service, are like 2 tracks that a train goes on. Of course, nowadays they have monorails, which is something different. That is a train that goes on one track. But Prabhupada was speaking in terms of what he experienced in India, which was like the Indian railway system has 2 tracks. And, of course, it's the largest employer in India, too. You know, the Indian railway system. And Prabhupada also, I mean, many examples came from the Indian railway system. It's interesting. Like Prabhupada said that his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, took the term GBC, Governing Body Commission, from the Indian Railway System's Governing Body Commission. They were called the GBC. So that's where that term came from. And then Prabhupada also took another phrase. He said, people should work in different capacities in the Krishna conscious movement just to keep the wheels turning. So there's another rail. Because you have to understand the situation that Prabhupada appeared in, the trains were very important. And in India, they are still quite important. The British, of course, was the one who instituted the railway system. So you have this Pantaratraki Vidhi and Bhagavat Vidhi. And we can divide the different processes of devotional service according to those 2 categories. Generally, as I said, there's some overlap. Like Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, and Padasevanam. Generally, they're understood to be Bhagavat Vidhi. And of course, Archanam, Archanam, Dasham, Sakyam, Atmani, Vedanam, Archanam, Vadanam, Dasham, Sakyam, Atmani, Vedanam, they're generally under the category of Pantaratraki Vidhi. So, both are necessary to advance in Krishna consciousness. I was just reading something that Srila Prabhupada wrote, because sometimes people try to just concentrate on one rather than the other. You know, this is extremists. It's like pendulum people. You know, swinging from one side to the other. Like you have, let's take the ones who just concentrate on the Pantaratraki Vidhi, the
Pancharatika, or let me describe what that means. It means rules according, it comes from the pancharatra, which are tantras. Tantra doesn't mean, like many people think, if someone's a tantric, they're engaged in hellish activities like eating meat, like we described in some previous classes, the five regulative principles of tantra, of the left-handed tantra, it's called. You know, mamsa, and then madan, intoxication, meat, maitunya, illicit sex, giving. Anyway, I'm not going to go through them all, but there's these different aspects of tantra, of left-handed tantra. And then so they're called pancha makara. Now, pancha means five, makara, five symptoms of left-handed. So, but tantra basically means that which connects in Sanskrit. So Narada Muni, he wrote the Narada Pancharatra, which is a tantric literature because it gives specific directions to connect you with Krishna. So that's also tantric. You know, so there's Vaishnava Tantra, there's Shaiva Tantra, there's left-handed tantra. Left-handed means like that. The horrible stuff we just described a few seconds ago. So there's different tantric processes. So Narada, when we talk about the Pancharatriki Vidhi, that generally it's in reference to the Narada Pancharatra, which outlines procedures for our general sadhana. The sadhana means, as Prabhupada gave to us, rising early in the morning before the sunrise. Of course, usually it's Brahma Muhurta hour, which is, in some places, it's an hour and a half before sunrise, but it depends upon, I mean, if you really calculate it precisely, it actually depends on where you are in the world. Like if you're all the way north in the middle of the summer and the sun is up 24 hours a day, I don't know how you would calculate that. Then you probably couldn't go to sleep. Or if you were all the way north in the middle of the winter where the sun doesn't come up, you probably could sleep the whole winter like a bear. Of course. But it generally, it's taken an hour and a half before sunrise in most normal latitudes. That means like here or India, these are normal places. I mean, North Pole, South Pole, really are not taking too much into account when you're talking about Brahma Muhurta. Because it's just, I know I've been in Finland during the summer, and the sun is as bright as this, the middle of the day, at 3:30 in the morning. And it's really bewildering. You know, you're walking out, going to Mangalarti, and it's just like, sun, you know, midday sun. Or in the middle of the winter, it's actually the opposite. You're going at midday somewhere, and it's like the middle of the night. So anyway, so for normal latitudes, it's actually calculated about an hour and a half before sunrise. So that's part of Pancharatra. You wake up during the Brahma Muhurta. Prabhupada placed much stress on this. It's not that, you know, I'm just like being a fanatic Hare Krishna. But, you know, we wake up before the Brahma Muhurta, and you don't go to sleep during the Brahma Muhurta either. It's not that you just wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning and then at 4:15 you go back to sleep. You know, that you can do also. You say, oh, I woke up before 4. What did you do after that? Well, went to sleep. So, and also you're supposed to engage in spiritual activities. I mean, there's different reasons for that. There's actually practical reasons. It's not just that Krishna wants us to become morning persons because he wants to torture us and because we like to have fun at night. The reason for that, it's a very good reason, is that the mode of goodness is prominent during that time. In the evening, the mode of ignorance is prominent. That's why people really like to get intoxicated and do all those things in the evening. The bars aren't so popular. I mean, people are leaving the bars at 4 o'clock in the morning. But the most popular time is like midnight, 1, 2 in the morning for the bars.
So the most popular time for self-realization is in the early morning. And, of course, we find Krishna sort of mentioning that indirectly when he says in the Gita that what's nighttime for the self-realized sage is the daytime for the ordinary people, and vice versa. Of course, Krishna is referring to not only the time of the day, but actually activities and consciousness and cultivation and knowledge and all those other things. But you can also take it in terms of the time of the day. And there was an interesting article that was just sent to me the other day that people who rise early, there was actually a test, are happier. And not even if they're, we're not even talking if they're devotees or not devotees. We're just talking about, you know, I don't want to say regular people, because hopefully we're regular people too. But people who have nothing to do with devotional service. You know, there was a sociological, psychological test. They took a sample of people, you know, a large enough sample, and they saw that somehow or they measured the happiness quotient, HQ. They were able to ascertain that people were happier. In general, the happiness was like 40, 50% higher. I don't know how you measure it. Don't ask me. But it was 40%, it was a newspaper article, 40, 50% higher for those who rose early in the morning. Why? Because in the mode of goodness, you become happy. I mean, because you can become addicted to the sense of happiness in the mode of goodness. That's understandable. And you could lose sight of the ultimate goal of life. But really, that in and of itself helps people come to the mode of goodness, rising early, as part of Pancharatra Ki Vidhi. And then also another part of Pancharatra Ki Vidhi is worshiping the deities. Very, very important. I mean, sometimes people think, well, don't have to worship deities, just chant Hare Krishna. Prabhupada says something very interesting in his purport about this. He said, you cannot directly go to Bhagavad Vidhi without practicing Pancharatra Ki Vidhi. I'm paraphrasing that. Prabhupada said that. You know, so in our preaching activities, we should understand this too, that Pancharatra Ki Vidhi has to be an integral, important part of bringing people to Krishna consciousness. Of course, obviously, you don't want to just like put them in front of the deities when they're going to commit offenses. I mean, that's another point. But eventually, I mean, Prabhupada actually wanted us to distribute happy dolls to everybody. I mean, what does that mean? Little Gornatai deities. You know, Prabhupada wanted them mass-produced and devotees on Sankirtan to give them out to people. And, you know, you tell them they bring good luck, happy dolls, whatever. So, but just by seeing the form. So that's like an introduction to Pancharatra Ki Vidhi. So it can't be avoided. Prabhupada said it can't be avoided because you can't properly practice Bhagavad Vidhi without going through Pancharatra Ki Vidhi. This is Prabhupada's words, not mine. So deity worship is another aspect of Pancharatra Ki Vidhi. Regulation, cleanliness, that's another aspect. You know, cleaning your hands, like Prabhupada was very emphatic about it. Clean your hands before you eat, clean your hands after you eat, and Prabhupada even said, clean your hands and feet. I remember in the early days of the movement, we would stick our feet in the sink before we ate. And you remember that, Prabhupada?
Yeah.
You know, it got a little moochy after a while. You know, there was a sink in the prasad room, and everybody was raising their legs to stick their feet in the sink. I mean, you really have to be practical in the application of that. I mean, it was kind of disgusting. But we did it anyway. So, because it was Prabhupada's instruction. So these are all aspects of Pancharatra Ki Vidhi. And then Bhagavad Vidhi means things like Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, which are essential also. Shravanam means to hear. After you hear, then you chant, then you remember. All these things are essential. And even to execute Pancharatra, they work together. Even to execute Pancharatra Ki Vidhi, you have to hear how to do things. If you just execute Pancharatra Ki Vidhi without Bhagavad Vidhi, without the regular hearing of the Bhagavatam class, without preaching Krishna consciousness, without engaging in Sankirtan, then you become very ritualistic. You become involved in what's called Niyam Agraha. Niyamagraha means you're doing all these rules, Pancharatra Ki rules and regulations, but you're forgetting the goal.
Or if you just become involved in Bhagavad Vidhi without Pancharatriki Vidhi, then you may lose sight that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has a form. You may lose your connection with the mode of goodness, because at Pancharatriki Vidhi, main thing is to bring you to the mode of goodness and to teach you, the deity worship teaches you that Krishna is a person. You know, because you see him on the altar. You know, we need, of course, hearing is most important, but we need, because we're a very visual culture, we actually need to see the form of the Lord and be reminded. It teaches us we're their servants. I mean, it's one thing to say you're a servant, but to actually do deity worship, you're reminded you're a servant, because the deity worship has to be performed very punctually. Punctually means basically when Krishna wants it, because right now we can't hear when Krishna is asking for food. You know, it's not that we're on the level of pure devotional service, so, you know, Krishna just called me on my mobile phone and he said he wants this for dinner. You know, that's later on. That's when you're a pure devotee. Then you can worship. That's pure Bhagavad Vidhi worship. The Pancharatriki means rules and regulations. So those rules and regulations teach us, oh, Krishna is offered at 4 o'clock or 4:15. He's woken up at this time. Kitchen has to be clean. Punctuality, everything has to be timely. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he went to Jagannath Puri, he regulated the worship of the Jagannath temple to the second. I mean, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is pictured with a watch. At that time, they didn't have watches, wrist watches. They had what we call pocket watches. You know, what they call a fob. I think it's called a fob, where you pull it out of your pocket. So he would always keep that and make sure the deity worship was very, very, very punctual. So that's Pancharatriki Vidhi. So they both have to work together. You can't really have one without the other. You have to be reminded that you're a servant. And that regulation in the temple is that reminder that you're a servant. And it keeps you in the mode of goodness. Those are the two main purposes of Pancharatriki Vidhi. And then Bhagavad Vidhi, of course, Shushutro, Shraddhanasya, Vasudeva Gita, Ruchishan, Mahatsevya, Vipra, Punyatirtha, Nishevya. Hearing the Lord's holy names cleanses the heart. It directly acts on the spiritual platform. It's actually transcendental to the mode of goodness. What is that? Bhavanti Vritkarna, Rasayana, Katad, Tujoshana, Dashu, Apavarga, Vartmani, Shraddha, Vritiyata, Bhakti, Anukramishati. It allows the heart to actually be free of the dirt, as Lord Chaitanya also says, Cheto Dharpanam Arjanam, Bhava Mahadvagni Nirvarpanam. By chanting the Lord's holy names, all the dust becomes cleansed that we have been accumulated for many lifetimes together. One is able to have a taste for the nectar for which he's always anxious. It's very auspicious, etc., etc., etc. So in other words, both things are absolutely essential. So in this particular verse, we're talking about prayers. So these prayers, it's very interesting here. It says, these prayers are given by great yogis and mystics who have completely situated themselves in pure existence. In other words, by following the proper process of Krishna consciousness and becoming advanced in devotional service, you're able to offer proper prayers to the Lord, which Srila Prabhupada points out here are not perfect in the sense that they can't describe everything about the Lord, but they're perfect in the sense that they describe the Lord purely and accurately according to the Siddhanta, which is really important. So this word perfect can be used in many different contexts. They are perfect, the prayers offered by the devotees, but they're not perfect in the sense that they're unlimited, that they describe everything about the Lord. They describe the Lord in truth, but not the Lord completely, as Prabhupada cites in this purport and also in the verse about Lord Ananta, who was able to glorify the Lord perfectly, but even with his many, many thousands or millions or unlimited heads and mouths, he's not able to glorify the Lord completely. So in order to come to the platform of glorifying the Lord perfectly, we have to be advanced in devotional service.
Otherwise, our glorification will be mixed. And Prabhupada doesn't decry that in his purport. He says anybody can offer prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But if you want to offer perfect prayers, you have to be perfect. If you want to offer perfectly pure prayers, you have to be perfect. At this time, our prayers are a little mixed with different, because we have different motives, which is all right. Krishna accepts that, like he did in the case of Dhruva Maharaj, and then we ultimately get purified. So we should, that's another point I wanted to make, that we should be honest insofar as our approach to the Lord, you know, what our desires are. It's better to honestly ask the Lord for something rather than saying, imitating a pure devotee, "Oh Lord, I have no material desires," but inside you're thinking, "I really want that computer or whatever. You know, I want some. You know, I want some." So it's better to be honest and reveal your mind to the Lord. "Oh Lord, ultimately I want to come to the point of having no material desires, but right now my heart is dirty. I have these desires. Please, you know, whatever you see fit, do with me to help me advance in devotional service." So anyway, these are some points about prayers. So any questions or comments? Prayers and also Navabhakti process and also Pancharatriki and Bhagavad Vidhi. Yes.
You said that you should be honest in your offering.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, obviously the standard prayers are recited. We chant the Guru Vashtaka in the morning. But there should be a personal relationship. And that's one of the reasons we have the deities here. Because if we just get in, if we just recite the standard prayers and just follow Pancharatriki, then we maybe just be very ritualistic in our recitation of the standard prayers. And not really understanding, we're not really feeling connected to the standard prayers. So in addition to doing the standard prayers, we should actually reveal our minds. And like I mentioned before, when I first came to the Boston Temple, it was about a year before I joined the Hare Krishna movement in 71, I noticed that every week the devotees would approach. They had one ceremony. That they would approach the deities and reveal what they did during the week, what their failings were in devotional service, what their desires. It was a very personal type of approach to the deities. I mean, Krishna is there. We should learn how to talk to Krishna. You know, he's our friend. You know, Sakyam, that's one of the nine processes of devotional service. Bhaktaram Jagatapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram Suridam Sarva Bhutanam. He's the friend, the well-wisher. I mean, if we can't talk to Krishna, I mean, if we don't talk to Krishna, it may indicate that we don't really think Krishna is there. And people have no problems talking to me. I mean, they call me up on the phone. I mean, I've had, you know, people don't. Of course, sometimes people get a little shy. Not anymore. But, you know, they don't have any doubt that they can talk to me. They may offer me prayers, like say, "Dear Gurudev, please accept my humble obeisances," which are not humble. That's a kind of funny thing to already say, humble obeisances. I know humble means like worthless and things like that, but I don't use it because it's not really something I can resonate with. I just say, "Please accept my obeisances," when I write to God Brothers. Because humble, I mean, just, I can't resonate with that word. Humble, anyway, whatever it is, it's all right if you use it, but I don't use it. So anyway, so there's a standard thing. "Please accept my obeisances, your lotus feet, which are so sweet," you know, like that. All right, that's a standard prayer. But then after that, you write the rest of the letter. If I was to write, if someone was to write a letter to me just with the standard prayers, I'd say, "What the hell are you writing a letter to me for?" You know, I can read the prayers myself. So the letter should be with the formality of the standard prayers. You know, the beginning and the end. Usually, it's a sandwich, and then revealing the mind to the deities or to the advanced devotee. You know.
So, for example, if there are some prayers like the Srimad Bhagavatam,
they're
different prayers. Oh, yeah, yes.
You add your personal prayer. I mean, we should be personal with Krishna. We're personalists. I mean, yes, we recite standard prayers. Krishna loves that and everything like that. But, you know, how do you feel? Krishna wants to know. I mean, Krishna knows, obviously. He's in your heart. But, you know, just like when I'm dealing with my Shilas, I talk to them.
It's not wow. You should talk to the deities. I mean, not out loud. Hey, Krishna! What you doing today, Krishna? Would you like to play with me, Krishna, today? No, not like that. That's ridiculous. But just, you know, reveal your heart. You know, whatever, you know. You know, I'm suffering, you know. I can't understand this. Help me understand this situation. Mm-hmm. Krishna's our friend. He's our well-wisher. Bhogdaram, Jagatapasam, right? I mean, come on. Otherwise, we become just very ritualistic in our approach. You know, just got to recite the prayers of the pure devotees. Can't say anything myself. You know, come on. It's, yeah, recite prayers of pure devotees, but be personal with Krishna. And that's one of the main reasons we have deity worship, is so that we remember that God is a person. He's our friend. Okay? All glorious is